guess which company will become the largest retailer in the U.S. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 11th day of June. Thanks, as always, for being with us as we broadcast this week out of our studio and from Entrefest. That's an entrepreneurial and startup conference that's being held in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. In other business news, digital restaurant orders surged last year and what some are doing to hold on to their new customers. Not only high-flying real estate moguls lie, we've got a story about that as well. While the hospitality industry hemorrhaged workers, so too did another sector that we don't much hear about. We've got the Wall Street Report, and we've got to ask, is rush hour gone? Is it a thing of the past? Or just lagging? Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. Focusandfind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to follow us on Twitter? You can do that. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. A programming note, as I indicated earlier, we are broadcasting this week from Entrefest. It's an entrepreneurial startup community in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and it has been a blast. Lots of people, young, old, in between, all kinds of folks that are chasing their dreams. Seminars went from funding to startup negotiations to marketing to a whole host of things. And I was pleased to have been asked to come and talk about the business of podcasting. Good stuff. Thanks so much. Also, a programming note for you. Today is Friday, and usually what we do is we have Jeff Pitts from City View Magazine in to talk about some hyper-local things, stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. But due to some technical difficulties, we were not able to connect with Jeff today. That's the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we've not had a report from City View Magazine out of Des Moines, Iowa, I think in maybe 5-7 years? Wow. We'll be back next week. All right, let's get into it, shall we? You know, it was just a matter of time. By next year, Amazon will become the nation's largest retailer, and that will topple Walmart. CNBC is reporting this story is not just about bragging rights, but also profit. According to company analysts, Amazon's U.S. retail business is the fastest growing at scale between 2014 and 2020. Amazon's U.S. gross merchandise volume, that's the gross merchandise volume, or GMV, that's a closely watched industry metric used to measure the total value of goods sold over a certain time period. Anyway, their GMV has grown significantly faster than both U.S. adjusted retail sales and e-commerce sales, say the analysts. Neither Amazon nor Walmart break out GMV in their quarterly earnings results, but J.P. Morgan estimates that Amazon's GMV is growing faster than its largest retail competitor. J.P. Morgan analysts said Amazon's GMV in 2020 climbed 41% year over year to $316 billion, while Walmart's GMV is estimated to have grown 10% year over year to $439 billion in 2020. While it all goes without saying, but we will say it anyway, the coronavirus pandemic rapidly accelerated the adoption of e-commerce and cemented Amazon's dominance in the retail space. Stuck-at-home consumers turned to Amazon for a plethora of goods ranging from toilet paper to workout gear. They also relied on Amazon for services they might not have otherwise considered, like, yeah, online grocery delivery. For some restaurants, digital ordering hit the big time during the pandemic. Now those restaurants are trying to find ways to keep those fickle customers buying. CNBC is reporting that restaurant digital orders surged by 124% in the year that ended in March. All of that is according to market researcher NPD Group. And the skyrocketing popularity of online ordering during the pandemic is motivating big fast food chains to use rewards program to hold on to their new mobile app customers. But forget about the old punch cards. Restaurants are rewarding customers with free stuff sent right to their phone. While restaurant loyalty programs differ in design and rewards, most programs don't use separate tiers based on how many points members have racked up, unlike airline rewards programs. For example, Starbucks dropped its tiers program back in 2019 in a bid to get new members more engaged with its loyalty program. In the three quarters that followed Starbucks making that change, it added 3.1 million loyalty members, up 15% from the same time in 2019. And throughout that period, it reported strong quarterly U.S. same-store sales growth, excluding when the pandemic began to take a toll on the business. So, in other words, digital rewards program makes businesses scale up faster. Restaurants are also leaning on loyalty programs to help lend a more personal touch to interactions with consumers, even as they zoom in and out of the drive-through lane. Get this, Panera Bread's newest restaurant design will automatically recognize loyalty members whether they go through the drive-through or enter the location. Now, one of the big questions for restaurants with existing loyalty programs is how to retain loyalty members even as competitors launch rival plans. Fast food chains may have to ramp up the number or quality of rewards for members, betting that the boon of customer data makes up for those losses. Notice what I just said. Customer data makes up for those losses. Why? Remember, data is king. You know, every once in a while, we need to be reminded it's not just high-flying real estate moguls that lie about what they have in order to secure more money in loans. This week, according to the Associated Press, the owner of a South Georgia tractor company has pled guilty to lying about his debts, assets, and income to obtain loans from banks and financial institutions. Nashville tractor owner Ricky Carter pleaded guilty in federal court in Macon to one count of bank fraud. Carter agreed to plead guilty to a criminal charge without being indicted. The charge says Carter took out a $5 million loan from Farmers and Merchants Banks in Lakeland in 2016 that was backed by the U.S. Small Business Administration. He also agreed to a $625,000 line of credit. Carter admitted he falsified financial statements in order to obtain the loan for his financially troubled tractor dealership. He also admitted to selling, get this, 88 pieces of equipment worth more than $1.5 million that Nashville Tractor held in trust for CNH Industrial. That's the manufacturer of New Holland tractors and other equipment. And he also had equipment that he held in trust for Kubota. He sold those as well, without notifying the manufacturers. Carter then used the cash to pay Nashville Tractor's debts. In total, three banks, the SBA, and manufacturer financing divisions lost $6.4 million to Carter because of the fraud. Carter, by the way, is supposed to repay that amount in restitution. The crime carries a maximum of 30 years in prison, but Carter is likely to be sentenced to far less under federal sentencing guidelines. He could also face up to a $1 million fine and up to 5 years of supervised release. But how would you like to have to try to pay back $6.4 million if your business is already in the tank? Well, here's an industry that saw a 112% increase in job openings, and it's not in the hospitality sector. MarketWatch is reporting that when the pandemic hit, it knocked out some 8.2 million people out of a job in the hospitality sector. Now that most pandemic restrictions have been lifted, Americans are back to dining out and booking vacations. And business owners are looking to fill nearly 1.6 million openings. That's a 68% increase in openings compared to February of 2020. But meanwhile, in the world of manufacturing, some 1.4 million people were laid off or furloughed from February to April of 2020. But as of last month, business owners are hiring for 851 positions. It's a record high for the industry and a 112% increase in openings since last February. The record rate of openings in the industry comes as 1.7 million workers over 55 unexpectedly retired during the pandemic, throwing in the towel rather than risk getting sick. And as older workers retire, younger workers are not interested in the business of manufacturing. In addition, men hold 71% of all manufacturing jobs. Experts in the field say it's a matter of perception. Manufacturing today is totally unlike that of your father or grandfather, but still, old stereotypes die hard. U.S. equities eked out a gain today. The trading was, in a word, choppy, as investors continue to fret about inflation. At the bell, the Dow rose by just 13 points to settle at 34,497, while the NASDAQ was up by 49 points to end the week at 14,069, and the S&P 500 was up by just 8 points to finish the day and the week at 4,247. Stocks today swung between gains and losses in lighter-than-normal trading volume. Gains were seen in technology, and those offset losses in healthcare and real estate. Oil was back up a bit, and the 10-year T-bill edged up to just below 1.5%. And finally, there is this. Have you noticed the roads are just a bit busier than what they were during the pandemic, but maybe not where we were 15 years ago? With traffic returning as the economy reopens, transit agencies and city planners are confronting the prospect of peak travel times never really returning to what they were. More flexible work arrangements set in motion by pandemic-induced shutdowns have smoothed schedules and traffic. The ramifications go beyond greater comfort during rush hour. They change the calculus for highway construction, design, and deployment of buses and trains, as well as where people choose to live. But then again, all of this may be just temporary. And perhaps workers will just rush to get into rush hour once again and clog our nation's freeways and highways. Our bet is maybe not. Well, that's a wrap for the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us. Our thanks to the folks at Entrefest for making us feel welcome in our, well, temporary studios. It has been a wonderful time in Cedar Rapids, and again, thank you so much to all of the staff and the volunteers that have put this wonderful conference together. It's going to be happening again next year, so watch for it. It's called Entrefest. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.